Worship First podcast with Reverend Eleanor Colvin, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Join us for a word of prayer.
Hallelujah. 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 God, we bow before you this day, declaring that you are an awesome God, declaring that we know there is no love like your love, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength, knowing that you have the peace that passes all understanding, knowing that our victory is found in you. God, we just want to take a little time to tell you how much we love you, to let you know what we think about you this day. We think you are an awesome God. We think you are amazing. We think you are a God who never fails. God, and we know the love we have felt, your love for us that your word says endures forever. God, we just want you to know it hasn't slipped our mind that last night could have been our last night. And so we thank you for being a God who keeps us, oh God, a God who holds our very lives, orders every step, sees the end from the beginning, knows everything that will be. And so we thank you, oh God, that you had us on the wake-up list this day so that we might start our day with praise and adoration of you, so that we might praise you in a way that equips us to go out into the world and help all the world to know the kind of God that you are. so that we might live lives that declare, I could never get enough of your love, Lord. And we could never get enough of sharing your love, Lord. Bless us to be those kind of people that don't just keep your joy to ourselves, that don't just keep the hope you bring to ourselves, that don't just keep your love to ourselves. Help us to be those who could never get enough of being your hands and feet and your heart in this world. God, we pray for all those who stand in need in any way, those who have financial needs this day, those who need peace of mind this day, those who need their minds regulated, oh God, this day because of mental illness. God, we stand praying for those who need healing in their body. We stand praying for those who are the caregivers that help to offer and administer that healing and health unto them. God, we pray for those that are grieving this day. God, be with your people all over the land. Be with your people all over the land. In Christ's holy name, we pray. Amen. 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 Friends, you know, we've been talking love this month. And as they were singing that last part, I just got to thinking of that book, The Five Love Languages. And I just thought about how they were offering God those words of affirmation. We think about those love languages in terms of how we want to be loved. Amen. How we want someone to speak to us or about us. And yet this was a beautiful example of how God desires. Adoration is a huge part of prayer. Before we get to our request, we be having long lists sometimes. Before we get to our request, which God wants to hear, amen. But before we get to our request, thank you. Adoration. That's huge. So thank you for joining them this morning, offering those words of affirmation to our God. Now, do we serve a God that needs to be pumped up? Mm-mm. Do we serve a God that needs us to make him feel like a big God? Mm-mm. But we serve a God who wants to know that we notice. Amen. Amen. He says, I'm your God and God alone. You'll have no other gods before me. So he wants to know, can you see me clearly? For all those other things that we might let get in our way, can you see me? If so, say so. So thank you for saying so, for offering those words of affirmation to our God. Thank you for offering the gift of your praise to our God this day. When we talk love languages, we think gifts, shiny things and cars and whatever else you might love, out to eat, gifts. But God's, the word says that God inhabits the praises of God's people. That's a big gift right there. Just to offer God a praise that says, you're welcome. You are welcome in this place. So thank you for offering God your gifts this day.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
The Bible says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Now let's join Reverend Eleanor Colvin as she explores this topic further.
Today's reading comes from 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in his life. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sin, for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must love one another.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Friends, let's pray. God, we thank you for your love that never fails, that never runs out on us, as the song says, your love that is limitless, oh God. We thank you for who you are, for how you are. We thank you that you truly are love. God, so use this word so that we might know what love is, so that we might know how to live in your love. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart is acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's in the name of your Son and our Savior that we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. That is probably one of the most popular love letters of all time. That's our subject today, love letters sent by God. That's one of the most popular love letters written by Paul to the church at Corinth. You may have heard it at a wedding. How many of us have heard that passage read at a wedding? We ain't been to many weddings in here. I'm talking for real and expecting conversation for real. How many of us have heard love is patient, love is kind at a wedding? Amen. Thank you. It may have even been a part of your own wedding vows. You may be like some folks in the class that I taught yesterday, and we were exploring all different kinds of beliefs of the Methodist Church, and we got to talking about what we say about marriage or what we believe about men and women or divorce even. And someone in the class said, I had no idea what I was saying on my wedding day. I had no idea what those words really meant or would really mean over time. That might be true for somebody in here who has some years under their belt. Somebody else said, the pastor just told me, and I interrupted, repeat after me. She said, uh-huh, and I did. So sometimes we're just saying the words. We say repeat after me because we want you to get the words right, but we really want you to get it down in your spirit too. So we're going to try it in here. Repeat after me. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Love is not easily angered. I expected that to be a bunch of mumbles. Y'all did all right. Love is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love always protects. Always trust, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails, y'all. Yeah. And it may be that we have been failed by people who said they loved us. And so we might have that little part mixed up, thinking that love fails, but love never fails, the word tells us. I know we skipped a few of the attributes that 1 Corinthians chapter 13 would offer, but I promise if you can just remember that much, if you can do those pieces, love is patient, love is kind, doesn't get angry too fast. If you can do that, it'll go a long way toward loving God and neighbor. It will go a long way toward living 1 John chapter 4, dear friends. Since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. If 1 Corinthians 13 was just about a couple, a wedding day, it might be way easier. If it was just about two people who picked each other because they were attracted to each other, because they had things in common, they liked to spend time together. If it was just about that kind of love, it would be a lot easier. But this love letter is written to a community that's experiencing pain and turmoil. And sometimes in that community, the pain was happening in the church. It was because of church folk. Amen. I'm going to give you an example from their community. Can you imagine if our experience of Holy Communion was only open? What would it be like if only people who tithe could come to the table? What would it be like if only those people who at least gave a gift once a month could come to the table? A gift of any amount. That opens it up to a lot more people, but still, a lot of us gonna be left out. The finance team could tell us communion would go much faster and we need a lot less wafers. Can you imagine Holy Communion where my folks that don't have to work, maybe the retirees, maybe the kids, where they came in and they ate up all the elements before you could get off a roof and get over here for worship, they already ate everything that was on the table. This is what was going on at the church in Corinth. And generally speaking, they were not being patient with one another. They were not being kind. They were self-seeking. So Paul wrote them a love letter. Now, I thank God that's not our struggle here. But we still get to learn from that love letter. Our church, our world, our own lives even still have room to grow. We are not picture perfect. And if we checked our spiritual mail this morning for a love letter, we might find that God has one for us. I know someone might be wondering, how you check spiritual mail? I got my email on my watch and on my phone, but how do I check my spiritual mail? Well, one way is to just open up the Bible. Amen. And so I found a draft copy of one of God's love letters to us, 1 John. You heard Milan read those words. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's word to us today is, let us love one another. Christ said it like this: they will know you are mine. They'll know you are my disciples by your love. So the call today is, let us love one another in word and in deed. Jesus taught the disciples saying, you know what? It's not love if you see your neighbor is hungry and you say to them, go, be full, but you don't offer them anything to eat. It's not love if you see your neighbor is cold and you say, go, keep warm, I'll pray for you, but you don't offer them the old coat that you haven't worn in years. So I called, let us love one another in word and deed, in spirit and in truth. Let's love one another with our prayers, yes, but let's punctuate our prayers with some action by doing something in the name of Jesus, something in the name of love after we say amen. Let us love one another even when folks are on your second to last nerve. The 1 Corinthians 13 love letter is written to people fresh out of nerves. That may be some of us. It's written to folks who are tired of the church talking the talk but not walking the walk. This love letter is written for those who are wanting the church to embody the love of God, to act like the children of God. Because 1 John 3 tells us, see what great love, what manner of love the Father has lavished on us, that we might be called children of God. That in and of itself is love. The word says that God looked at us and claimed us and said, I want them to be mine. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And so, children of God, how are we embodying the love of God? How do we live out the love of God in our lives? Can folks just look at us or hear us in the classroom or see us on the sports field and know that we're God's before we tell them we go to church or before we wear a church t-shirt? Can someone just know that we belong to God? If people eavesdrop on our conversations, would they hear us sounding boastful or puffed up? Would they hear us keeping records of wrong, running down everything everybody didn't do or did that you didn't want them to do? What would people hear? And if our lives were what I'm going to call a love cam, what would people see? What's a love cam, Pastor? When that came to me, I was thinking about the nanny cam that some folks might have in their house so they know what their kids are doing or what the caregiver is doing, even if they're not in the room with them. The nanny cams that we put up in a daycare center so we know that our littles are well when we leave them in the care of strangers all day. And sometimes those cameras are the only thing that offer the evidence of if something's going good or if something's going real bad. And I wonder if God was watching God's children on a love cam, what would God see us doing? In the name of Jesus, in the name of love. And this is how we know what love is, that God showed his love among us when he sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love, not that we have loved God, but that God loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice for our sins. John says that we know the love of God, we know the love of Christ through their generosity, through their sacrifice. If someone had to bear witness to our love, how would they say they know it? What makes them recognize us as signs of love? Because here's the good news. Sometimes God sends us love letters, and sometimes God sends us as love letters. First John chapter 3 and 4 are love letters. John 3:16 is a love letter. Mostly all of the Psalms, but especially Psalm 23, Psalm 91, those are love letters. The words of the prophets, major and minor. Don't skip over those books that stick together. The words of the prophets are love letters. Even if they're hard to hear, even if they challenge and push us, the words of the gospels are love letters. Sometimes God sends us love letters so that we might be shaped, we might be formed in a way that allows God to send us as a love letter into the world. Last week, I asked you to help me write today's sermon by telling me what life has taught you about love, how your life has shaped you in love and for love. And one person responded saying that learning to love God and be loved by God is what changed her whole life. Learning to be loved by God. She says, when I learned to love, God was the script that allowed me to know me and love me. Sad to say, I was already a daughter, a wife, a mother. I had even experienced grief. Yes, I went to church, had heard how good God was all my life, was told to love the Lord, but learning what love is and learning how to love, that's been one of my most valuable lessons. It taught me how to be that daughter, that wife, that mother who can love what God created. Friends, sometimes love helps us get in formation. Amen. To get in the shape to love, to get in the right frame of mind for love. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not ready for love, as India Arie would sing, until we have been readied by love. We're not ready to love until we have been readied by love. And getting ready might mean praying like the psalmist, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Getting ready might be praying like the hymn writer who says, draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. That writer says, may my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. Getting ready might mean surrendering our way to God's way. And we may not be ready for love until we're readied by love. Getting ready might mean learning a new language. I don't mean Spanish, French, Portuguese, Mandarin. I mean those love languages that we were talking about a little earlier. It might mean learning some words of affirmation, how to spend quality time with God and others. It might mean sharing gifts or acts of service or physical touch, just holding, hugging somebody sometimes. And we all know what our language is. And sometimes we assume that somebody else wants to be loved the way we want to love. I wrap people up in my arms. Everybody don't want to be hugged like that. So you better let me know, because that's one of my love languages. If you want the pastor back off of you, then you have to do something. Do like I do when it's not a hugging day. Just hold your hand at you, blow me a kiss, something, so I move off of you. But everybody doesn't love the same way. Words of affirmation help some people. And other folks, you affirm them, and then they worry. Well, why she say I look pretty today? Did I not look pretty last week? Well, why did they say the choir sounded so good today? Did we not sing good last week? And so words of affirmation doesn't do it for everybody, because it was something sort of swirling around in the brain and you can't receive that love for what it is. And so we have to get fluent in one another's love language to figure out what do they need that I might be able to offer. Because the word says love does not dishonor others and it is not self-seeking. Because love is kind, we want to love each other in the ways that are good for each other. Jesus modeled this. He didn't just come on the scene and just start throwing blessings like he was, you know, passing out, whatever, he asks you, what do you need me to do for you? Do you want to be made well? Even when he knew what your problem was, he still asked you to say it to him. The man is laying at the pool for 38 years. Jesus might have saw him 37. Well, not 37, because we know he died at 33. He might have saw him 27 years. But he still asked him, what's going on here? What do you want me to do for you? And so that's our model, to learn to listen, to learn to love people in the ways they need to be loved. Getting ready for love, y'all, might mean learning new languages. And one more that I would add in there is the language of unconditional love, because that was an overwhelming part of your responses. Everyone who turned in something said something about unconditional love. One person said parenthood taught her not to keep records of wrong, taught her to be patient because love is unconditional. Another said, my child takes me on an emotional roller coaster daily, but through it all, I love my child no matter what. Parenthood has taught me to love unconditionally. Friends, as we prepare to be sent as love, to be sent as love letters into the world, it's a good idea to brush up on your unconditional love. You're probably gonna need it. For some of us, that's gonna mean learning to forgive. That's probably the pen that we write with. That's the pencil, forgiveness sometimes. Learning how not to keep those records of wrong. Someone said that marriage taught you to forgive and to forget the way God does for us. Ooh, Lord. And they went back to that notion of unconditional love through the ups and the downs. To forgive and forget the way God does for us. That person sounds a lot like Christ, who taught us to pray and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive us, Lord, as we forgive. That might be in the same manner, the same way that I forgive. That might mean at the same pace, in the same time. Forgive us as we, just like I forgive. That spouse has learned to write with the pen of forgiveness in the language of unconditional love. Friends, that's way better than chocolate-covered strawberries, even though they real good. Love is better. Forgiveness is way better than that cute little heart-shaped Russell Stovers that somebody's gonna get tomorrow. Those are good, but forgiveness is better. And it lasts longer too, amen. The truth is, it's hard for God to send some of us as a love letter because some of us have really sloppy penmanship. Some of us have forgotten how to write. That's real life. Some people in the room find it hard to physically write with a pen or pencil nowadays because we text everything, we type everything. And so actually holding a pencil, actually doing the work of writing can be hard. I wonder if we could stand to practice our spiritual penmanship in here, especially in the language of unconditional love. Is your holy handwriting rusty because you've been relying on somebody else to do the work of discipleship for you? Is your holy handwriting rusty because you count on the prayer warriors in your life? That's good. But can you also count on you to get on your own knees and bow your own heart and head before God and open your own mouth and call on the name of your own Savior? Can you count on you, or is your handwriting rusty when it comes to prayer? I wonder, is our handwriting not so legible because we count on someone else to serve the community, to be the good Samaritan, to be the big giver? Is your giving formula off? I told you, when I shop for Christmas, it's always one for you, one for me. So you're gonna see those earrings that I gave you and be like, well, my sister especially, has she been in my room? Is she in my stuff? One for you, one for me. One Mary J. Blige CD for you, one for me. One scarf for you, one for me. But sometimes our counting is more like one for me, one for me. Two for you, three for me. I wonder if our giving formula is off. What does our holy handwriting look like? When we think of the love languages, one of them might come more naturally, be more comfortable to us, but could we practice a little bit? Could we practice so we could grow, get better at a thing? I know in the life of the church, everybody isn't called to everything, but is there a call that you can answer? Because love is always calling. Love calls through our great God. As the text says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. And friends, I don't know about you, but if we're children of God, we should look a little like God. You know, when the baby gets born and the child start growing and they start looking around thinking they don't look like nobody over here. Sometimes there's a story behind that, sometimes not. Maybe if you look at grandpa pictures, they'll look like grandpa. But there is an expectation that you will look like the family. Amen. And God expects the same, that we will look like God who is love. We will look like our God who is patient and kind, our God who is not proud, our God who is protective and trustworthy, our God in whom we can hope, our God who perseveres. Perseverance, one of our co-preachers said it this way: God's love is infinite, never ending, limitless. It is a 365, 24/7 type of love. And that person knows that the pastor likes a sermon soundtrack. And so she added to the soundtrack and said, as Erica Badu would say, it's on and on, on and on. God's love never stops. That's good news. Because God's love never stops, it's always a good time to send a love letter to this world. Believe it or not, there are so many in the world. I know you've been Christian all your days. But there are so many in the world who have never heard the good news of God's unconditional love. People who need to hear the good news of an infinite, never-ending, limitless, loving God. Folks who need to hear about a God whose love is on and on, or endures throughout the generations, as the psalmist would say. Because there are folks who need to hear that love. That's why Christ said to us and the disciples last week, come on, let's go out into the deep waters. Push out into the deep and let's fish for people. Come on, leave these shores of your comfort zone so that we can do more for the least, the last, and the lost. When I ask you what your love letter to those people would be for the new believers, our co-preacher said this: the key message is God is love. God is love. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die for our sins and continues to love us despite our faults. There is no greater love. That's not only a message for a new believer, that's a message for an old believer who may have stumbled a little bit and needs to know that no matter our faults, that's the message for an old believer who's been sitting on the church pew but still isn't sure that God could love a filthy rag, as the scripture says, like them. That's a message for all of us. There is no greater love. Another said, I would tell a new believer that the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. They went on to say, because sometimes we hear that, but we don't know how to do that. They went on to say, ask the Lord to fill you with his spirit and lead you in the path of righteousness. That's a good word, y'all. To ask God to fill you and to lead you, that means you're going to do things God's way. That means that even though the word tells us that wide is the road that leads to destruction and narrow is the path that leads to life in God, even though it's tough to be on that straight and narrow, when we ask God to fill us and to lead us, we got this. We can stay in God's perfect will so that we might do God's perfect work. That same preacher said, put God first in whatever you do. Live a life pleasing to God. And what does that look like? They said we need to give our time, our talents, our gifts. Friends, a life that pleases God. Part of what pleases God is that we live like Christ and we love like Christ. Don't forget John's love letter. Dear friends, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. Don't forget Paul's love letter. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Not even one tiny little notepad tucked away somewhere that other people don't have to find out about. Not even a little file in the back of my mind that I reactivate every time you make me mad. It keeps no record of wrong. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. It is likely the most popular love letter of all time. Not just written for couples, not just written to give us a warm, fuzzy, glad feeling at a wedding, but the most popular love letter was written to the church for the sake of the world. And I wonder what God is saying to our church today for the sake of the world. Let's not forget that this is how we know what love is, that God so loved the world that he sent his son to save it, that God so loved the world that he sent us to the world to tell it about the son's love. So ask yourself, how is your holy handwriting today? Are you fit to be sent into the world as a love letter? Who have your greatest teachers been when it comes to love? Others said their children. They taught me to put their needs before my own. I stopped by to tell you that God is calling us today to consider his children's needs before our own. What does it look like? Could I get by with a tall when I pull up at Starbucks? If I get the tall instead of the venti, I got 3-4 more dollars to put into the benevolence tray when it passes by me. Are my gym shoes really worn out, or do I literally have to match every single color in my wardrobe? Could I skip a new pair of shoes this month so that I'm able to bless somebody else who might be in need of a pair with no holes in them? Ladies, could your Michael Kors, your Coach, your Gucci be carried, insert whatever brand is you? Because I don't want you to exempt yourself. I don't even like Coach. That's not what I'm talking about. But can the bag last just a little bit longer so that you might even take one of those old purses that you haven't even seen in the back of your closet in ages, fill it with some feminine items, donate that to a homeless shelter, since we hear that that's a huge need in the homeless population? Do I have to have a new one when I have plenty to already bless somebody with? As we write love letters to the world, who are the children of God whose needs God is asking us to put before our own? How's the handwriting of your heart? Are you ready? Are you ready to be sent into the world as a love letter this day? And if you're not sure, you can be readied. You can get ready by the love letters that God has already sent to us in his living word. I invite you to allow the word to get you ready to live a life that proves love is patient, that proves love is kind, that proves love is not proud. Get ready to live a life in the name of Jesus that proves love never fails. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.